This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, friends, again, welcome to another telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you again, and thank you for selecting this time to spend with us. You know, I never cease to be amazed with our political and civic leaders and the issues that they're contending with. That's right, I think many of you would agree with me that 20 to 30 years ago, we wouldn't be debating the issues that we're debating. I think many of us would admit to the fact that they wouldn't even see the light of day, or as some would say, wouldn't even be a blip on the radar screen. Now, what am I talking about? For instance, issues such as euthanasia, abortion, pornography, prostitution, and the rest of the sex trade. The confusion surrounding the definition of marriage and same-sex marriages, along with the rest of the homosexual agenda. On the international geopolitical scene, terrorism on a worldwide scale on multiple fronts, infringing upon our own national security for many nations in the West, consequently running the risk of jeopardizing our very freedoms and liberties. Genetic engineering, stem cell research, along with the ancillary concern that many people have today of actually cloning human beings. If you're like me, you wonder, you know, where is all of these things leading to? I mean, I can't for the life of me imagine some of our forefathers, guys like Jefferson, Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, or for that matter, Teddy Rough Rider Roosevelt, even considering passing legislation of this kind, of this type. I mean, I can't imagine them even thinking of making these items parts of the laws of our country to where they would be integrated as part of our values and standards. Now, some of you may say, well, now, wait a minute, Bill, come on, you got to chill a little bit. Don't you realize we just came out of the roaring 90s? I mean, we're rounding third and heading into the 21st century, you know. You got to become a little bit more tolerant, a little bit more liberal in your thinking. I mean, listen to yourself. You know, you sound like an old homophobic, stiff-hearted, intolerant dinosaur compared to some of the things and ways that people are talking today. I even had a guy one time, you know, tell me, Bill, you got to loosen up a little bit. Well, you know what? I couldn't agree more. My feeling is you're right. We've got to loosen up. But we need to loosen up from the loose ways, my friends, that it appears we're going in. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned for my grandkids. I'm concerned for my loved ones. As a matter of fact, I'm concerned for the world in which I live, especially in light of the fact that the envelope continues, it seems anyway, to be pushed by so many private interest groups on this cultural revolutionary front. I mean, we've got more private interest groups than you can shake a stick at. We've got kids' rights and women's rights. We've got animal rights and gay rights. We've got all kinds of anti-gun advocates and pro-gun advocates. We've got affirmative action folks that are underscored and supported by the ACLU, along with welfare advocates, and a whole handful of, in addition to that, and more so even than a handful, but a boatload full of selfish politicians, drug legalists, terrorists, and racists. And you might as well throw a few constitutional purists in there and maybe even salt and pepper the whole group with a few supremacists, all pushing, all contributing toward and for the diminishing of the values of the Judeo-Christian standards that have been so instrumental in making much of the democratic West as successful as it has been. Oh, yes, my friends. Yet, nevertheless, in spite of all these things, do you know what? It's paradoxical. That's right. There is a paradox that, well, what I'd like to do today is talk about a little bit. But before I do, as is our rule here. I want to interrupt myself to present to you our free offer. That's right. Both items are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for the article written by my colleague, Mr. Van Stinson, one of the commentators here on the Armor of God. He's written an article titled, Why Christ Must Return. A very good read. You can read it in one sitting. It'll go into a lot more detail than what I will have opportunity to do today, but certainly well worth the asking. Along with that, we have a one-hour presentation, taped presentation, that is available for your asking. It's titled, Christ's Second Coming. Is it biblical? Ask the operator. All you've got to do is ask her which format you prefer, be it CD or cassette tape. We'd appreciate one or the other because, well, as most people try to do, we try to act a little bit more or perform and operate cost effectively. So we would greatly appreciate you making a choice on either CD or cassette. But ask the operator by dialing 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website at www.cgi.org. There are additional things there for your consideration that we believe will certainly be very helpful to you and your family. Now, I've been talking about this paradox, and rightly so, it is a paradox because in spite of all the things that I just mentioned and all the list that I kind of covered in a thumbnail sketch, you'd have to admit, things economically are, well, they're rather healthy. I mean, unemployment is reasonably low. Interest rates have been low for quite a few years now. As a matter of fact, the building trades and the building industry, the real estate industry for that matter, is booming for all intents and purposes. People are buying and selling homes like never before here in the United States, as well as Canada, and I'm sure in parts of Australia and New Zealand and in areas of England. Worldwide investment remains generally strong, along with a fair amount of corporate investment. Technological development is still very, very strong, and as a matter of fact, right now, the economy is beginning to kick back up. And that's not to even mention the medical healthcare technological area, where today doctors and nurses have at their fingertips some of the most advanced technological items for helping them in surgical procedures, implants, therapeutic help and programs for patients and drug management, along with non-invasive exploratory surgery by lasers. I mean, the healthcare industry that we have today in the history of mankind is second to none. Absolutely, my friends. But there's more to the concerns of the human species and its survival than mere political, economic, healthcare, and human rights issues. Oh, that's right, my friends. Because there are some legitimate environmental concerns, such as the management of sewage, the management of pollution, and in general, overall, the whole ecosystem. And I didn't even mention food production and population management. Do you realize there are over 6 billion people on spaceship Earth right now? Every year, we add to our population enough people that is approximately 3 times the size of Canada. That's right, we add approximately 100 million folks to this spaceship of ours called Earth every year. Now, some population forecasters are claiming that with that under consideration, there's a very good chance that we may end up doubling our population in 25 to 30 years. Can you imagine 12 plus billion people on this planet in the next 20 to 30 years? Doesn't take a whole lot of time to figure out that we're heading on a collision course with food production and population management. And oh yeah, what about the crucial area of war? Man's history is riddled with military conflict. Today we are still threatened with more potential wars and rumors of wars than in any other time. As a matter of fact, as I speak before you today, there are literal multiple submarines in our oceans circling continents, carrying in the bowels of their ships, that's right, packed away, not in measuring terms of megatons, but in measuring terms of how many World War IIs they're carrying, circling these continents just a button push away from initiating nuclear holocaust. And nuclear weapons are just one area of concern. What about biological weapons? Because of affordability and the availability and ease of manufacturing and the difficulty to monitor these particular weapons are weapons of choice for many terrorist types. Nerve gas, anthrax, or for that matter, a dirty nuclear bomb. That is, a bomb that could be put easily in a suitcase, located in some locker at some bus station in a downtown city in Canada, Australia, England, or the United States to go off, maybe just taking out a block or two, nothing very major in terms of the explosion, but the nuclear fallout. That's what would be disastrous. The reality exists, my friends, of individuals possessing these kinds of weapons that we don't know who or where they are. Consequently, international extortion is a real possibility. And I haven't even mentioned disease, sickness, pestilence, and continuing how they continue to climb, that is, all over the world. Many of us are well aware of the AIDS virus epidemic in proportion. Currently, right now, about 20 million people are infected with this particular virus. Some forecasters are saying the next 10 years, it could easily climb 3 to 4 times that. And what about a good old standard traditional dose of herpes? Or, for that matter, syphilis or gonorrhea. Do you realize that here in the United States alone, just this year, 15 million people, that's right, approximately 15 million people will contract an STD. And, as pointed out in your Bible, and I'd like to turn there for a moment, if you would, if you have your Bibles with you, because I want to show you something that was prophesied about our time in the end that would be basically characterizing the kinds of information glut we would be facing. Notice this in Daniel chapter 12. I'd like to turn there for a moment. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 4. Look at this now. Daniel just received the longest prophecy in his life. And it's coming to a conclusion here as it ends. And in verse 4 we read, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, doesn't that sound like a lot of what our day and age could be described as? I mean, when you consider the fact of all of the computer technology and day and age in which we're living in, people sitting behind these monitors for literally hours, cruising today what we call the internet. As a matter of fact, people like you and I could develop their own web pages to sell something they want to gain notoriety for, that they want to be known notoriously for selling or promoting. And yes, people have done this. It's a wonder, and you can't help but to wonder, at least I do anyway, where again all of this is leading. And yes, of course, one last category that I'd like to point out, and that is very simply religion. Just the other day, I heard a guy tell me that God, that is as an audience, you know, like you sitting watching television, he said that the Lord spoke to his heart. And consequently, that's why you should go ahead and write in right now for his booklet or his tape. And oh yeah, by the way, send him 20 or 25 bucks for the offer that he's offering. I'm happy to say here on the Armor of God, whether it's Charles Gross, Van Stinson or Bronson James or myself, we haven't asked you for any money and don't intend to ever, because on the Armor of God, we're here to give to you freely, hoping that at some point, perhaps, if God should show you and put it upon you to send us a buck or two or three, hey, so be it. But the fact is, you'll never hear us ask you for money. That's between you and God. Yet, nevertheless, people claim that God is talking to them direct in spite of, and I'm not going to turn there, but I'm just going to reference Hebrews chapter 1, which states the fact of how God in different manners at different times in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is through basically the four methods of Bible study, meditation, prayer, and fasting that you can grow in grace and knowledge and develop a relationship with God. But you may say, well, now, wait a minute, Bill. You know, you're leading on and you're talking about even the literature you're offering in respect to Jesus Christ perhaps being the solution to all this or God talking to me through the Bible. But what happens if I don't have a television? What if I'm living in a part of the world where I don't speak English? I mean, how can Jesus Christ do anything for me? I mean, come on, what is the solution? What are really the answers? Because frankly, and I would admit too, mankind has proven himself to be miserably inadequate in managing the difficulties over the last 6 to 7,000 years that he has found himself in and that he's faced over the many multitudes in dealing with different empires and different cultures. I mean, man has suffered at his own hands with false religion, war, famine, and pestilence and crime for centuries and millennia. He has crippled himself from achieving any kind of ultimate peace and utopia, and continues, in spite of all of these failures, to refuse to concede to God and surrender to the fact that he doesn't know the way of peace, hence rendering himself to repeat cycles and to continue in the same old behaviors that just continuously repeat the results. It's unfortunate, my friends. It really is in so many, many respects. Well, at the risk of sounding somewhat unscientific, I want to explain very clearly how Jesus Christ is indeed the solution to humankind. There is absolutely no doubt your Bible is very clear on this particular aspect of how Jesus Christ is going to integrate with humankind and really serve to become the solution to all of humanity's ills. Because quite frankly, if we have to depend on the track record of humankind to bail us out of all these issues that I've been addressing, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a real hard time in the sometime near future here where we would even think that we could solve our own problems. Frankly, they seem overwhelming. They seem almost unsolvable on the human level. So as I say, my friends, I want to show to you here in the book of Revelation for a moment. Turn with me if you would. Revelation 19. Revelation 19 here, you're going to see something that illustrates just exactly how Jesus Christ is indeed going to begin to solve humanity's problems. Chapter 19, book of Revelation, we read here in verse 11, "And I saw heaven," this is Revelation 19, verse 11, "open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now, there's no doubt who this Word is. You can read in the Gospel of John, that is, Gospel of John, first chapter, where John identifies the Word of God as being Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory, the glory of him becoming flesh. You can read about that in John chapter 1. Jesus, the former pre-existing Word of God, was made flesh and we beheld his glory. Here is identified in Revelation 19 as a returning Messiah and King of Kings to this planet. That's right, the literal, physical, metabolic return of Christ. He is going to break into this matrix that we live in, this three-dimensional world of time and space that you and I share, and he is going to take control. Look at this in verse here 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." That's right. He's coming back with the armies of heaven, angels behind him also riding white horses. And they too are going to help Jesus begin to establish and reinstitute world ruling government that is going to be basically managed by Jesus Christ himself using this particular book, this law book. Because the Bible is not only a prophetic book, not only a historical book, not only a book on ethics and principles of living, but it is a law book, a book of how to manage a sociology. That law, those laws are going to be re-implemented. Notice over here in the book of Acts, and I'd like to share this with you as well. Chapter 1, look at this. This is the first promise that is made back to humankind as Jesus just ascends back to the Father after 40 days after his resurrection. He's going back now to heaven. Here we find Jesus in verse 9, that is these angels talking about Jesus and mentioning the very first promise. I mean, he just barely disappeared into the clouds. And what do you hear these angels tell his disciples? Well, look at here. Verse 9, Acts chapter 1. Notice, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Did you get that? Jesus is promised here by these two angels that he's going to return at some time in the future. Remember, this is a prophetic book. We're listening and talking about events that are yet reserved for the future and which will come in the future. If you'll notice over here in Micah, and I'd like to turn there just for a moment in the book of Micah and in chapter 4, because here the whole Old Testament is just chock full of information regarding the fact of this reestablishment of God's government on planet Earth. Revelation 19 shows that Jesus is coming back on a white horse with all the armies with him from heaven. In addition to that, we're told that the first promise, even before he basically disappeared into the clouds, was all about his return. Ultimately, his return is going to result in the following. Look at this now, Micah chapter 4. Get your Bibles out, Old Testament, Micah chapter 4. Listen to this now. But in the last days, did you get that? Last days, that's the time sequence here. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, we'll walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people, rebuke strong nations afar off." That is talking about nations of the world. Christ is coming back to rebuke nations afar off. He's going to come and he's going to establish world ruling government that will teach mankind about peace rather than war. Look at this, verse 3. "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword up against nation." Did you hear that? Look at this. "Neither shall they learn war any more." That's right, my friends. Jesus Christ, read it over here. It's very, very clear. Your Bible is just as clear as daylight on this. Zechariah 14, Jesus is coming back. I can tell you where he's going to land. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14, verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes." This is talking about his return. "His feet," verse 4, Zechariah 14, verse 4, "shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east." We're even told where this is. You know where the Mount of Olives is. It's over there in Palestine. At least that's what we're told in today's modern lingo, what that particular country is called. Years ago, your Bible called it Israel. That was the land of the 12 tribes of Israel. Not just the tribe of Judah, but all 12 tribes. Jerusalem was the capital, ultimately, of the combined coalition of nations or tribes that David and his son Solomon ruled when they were a loose confederation about 1,000 or so B.C. They were all one nation of a loose confederation of multiple tribes. Jerusalem was that capital. Jesus is coming back to that particular location. Furthermore, it says here in verse 8, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder," that is the Mediterranean, "and the Dead Sea." He's coming back. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. Fresh water is going to go to the Mediterranean. Fresh water is going to go to the Dead Sea. "And the Lord," verse 9, look at this, "shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, his name one." Yes, my friends, Jesus Christ is coming back to planet Earth. And upon his return, he is going to resurrect those Christians to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can read it there toward the end of that chapter, how the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which are alive shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, it mentions that in 1 Corinthians 15. You shall meet him in the air and be with him wherever he may be. And I just read to you where he's going. He's not coming to earth, hitting it on a near miss and then wafting people off to heaven. Your Bible doesn't talk about anything like that in any way, shape, or form. This teaching of the rapture is nonsense based on your Bible. Jesus is coming back and directly going to land on the Mount of Olives. Friends, right now, dial 888-578-8791. Time's running out for me. But ask for the free brochure and the piece that we have, a one-hour presentation on Jesus Christ, on whether or not his second coming is indeed biblical. Both are very good for your edification and will tell you a lot more than what I'm left here to tell you. Stay tuned for these few closing comments from my colleague, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Well, Bill has suggested again to our minds that it's impossible for humanity to solve its own problems. And that's just a confirmation of the scriptures. For instance, in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," friends, that's sin, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear." And then there's the ultimate irony suggested in verse 8. "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whether they go, therein shall not find peace." And yet we hear about a roadmap to peace. I don't care if the roadmap to peace is talking about the Middle East or dealing with AIDS and HIV on the continent of Africa and all of the plethora of human ills that we know about and hear about day after day in the news. The Bible suggests that because of sin, we cannot solve our own problems. Verse 9 of Isaiah 59 says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." Friends, isn't it about time for you to own up to the fact that voting for any particular political party or any little subtle idea, philosophically speaking, that is going to make you safe and sound and protected in this world is just a pipe dream? I suggest you make the toll-free call to receive the free material that we are offering in today's program, Why Christ Must Return, that's the booklet, and the tape, Christ's Second Coming, Is It Biblical? It just takes a toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. We'll see you here again on another Armor of God. So remember, put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.